Like to turn this evening to, again, the book of Matthew, chapter 5. We'd like to read verses 14 through 16 tonight. We looked at verse 13. This morning, ye are the salt of the earth. Tonight, we'd like to look at ye are the light of the world. Begins verse 14 by saying, ye are the light of the world. City that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine, that is, to give light in all the house, before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. These verses, along with verse 13, again speak of the fact that the saved individual is in this world to be a witness. We're in this world to have a positive impact, a positive influence upon all that we come into contact with. We're here to make the world a better place. Again, we don't have to worry about the whole world. All we have to concern ourselves with tonight is our little corner, our place in the world, and just as we are to be salt in that place, we are also to be light. We see that these verses, along with verse 13, speak of our relationship to the world, speak of our purpose, speak of our function. And again, the two similes of salt and light speak of the fact that the life of a child of God is to be a life of impact and influence. Salt is penetrating, and our life is to be penetrating. And light is radiating, and our life is to be radiant. So we see that. Also, we see something about the character of the world. The fact that we are the salt of the earth speaks of the fact that the world is a place of rot and decay. And the fact that we are the light of the world speaks of the fact that the world is a place of darkness. And we are to have an effect upon the rotten decay of the world, and we are to have an effect upon the darkness of the world. So we want to speak God as a light. And again, we see the function and purpose of the child of God in the world. The very one who said, ye are the light of the world, also said of himself in John 8 and verse 12, he said, I am the light of the world. Now, I don't believe that you can separate those two statements. You are the light of the world, and Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Those two statements must be taken together, and since the child of God can only be the light of the world, as he is the light of the world, it speaks of our relationship to him. The only way we can be light is to have relationship with him who is the light of the world. So the better our relationship with the Lord, the brighter our light is in our part of the world. He went on to say there in John 8 verse 12, he said, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So children of God are the receivers of the light of Christ. But not only are we the receivers of the light of Christ, we read there in Ephesians 5 and verse 8, for ye were sometime darkness, but now ye are light in the world. So we are the receivers of his light, but at the same time we have been made light. Ye are the light of the world. So we see it's as a result of our union with Christ, as a result of our relationship with Christ, that we radiate light. And we see His nature enters into us, and we become to a degree what He is. He's light, we're light. He's the light of the world, we're the light of the world. So it all has to do with our relationship with the Lord. So let's consider the function of each one of us as light. And just like this morning, we'll look at some characteristics of light. First of all, light makes clear. Light clarifies. The world, in its darkness, is a place of confusion. And I promise you that wherever you are in the world, wherever God has placed you in the world, there are lives that are around you that are just a mass of confusion. There are those that you come into contact with, perhaps on a daily basis, and their life is just, again, a mass of confusion. But we are the light of the world. That is, our life, the way we live our life, is to bring some clarity to the world, to bring some clarity to where God has placed us. So wherever we are in the world, whatever our place is in the world, our life should dispel some of the confusion. Our life should bring some clarity to others. And when our life is in conformity with Jesus Christ, when our life is in conformity with the Word of God, our life then clarifies Christ. And our life then clarifies the Word of God. But when our life is filled with hypocrisy, when our life is filled with inconsistencies, such a life, instead of bringing clarity, only adds to the confusion. And God help us that our lives bring the confusion that is all around us. And again, if we're inconsistent in our life, that's all we're doing. We just simply add to the confusion. So light clarifies. Light also reveals. We see that the life of a, we can call it a beatitude-type child of God, as described there in verses 3 through 12, is a revelation, is an unveiling of Jesus Christ. Our responsibility, according to 1 John 2 and verse 6, is to walk even as He walked. That's our responsibility. Wherever God has placed us in this world, whatever people God has put in our lives, however great the darkness, however great the confusion in our corner of the world, we are to walk even as He walked. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what stage of life we're in. It doesn't matter what our circumstances are. It doesn't matter what the circumstances of those that are around us are. We are to walk even as He walked. We are to be light. We are to bring clarity. We are to bring revelation, that is the attitude and the spirit and the life of a child of God. Again, I say the attitude of a child of God, the spirit of a child of God, and the life of a child of God should point to and reveal Jesus Christ. That's what our life should do. That's why God has left us here. Again, He didn't just save us so that we could live in heaven forever. He left us here to be a light to the world, to have our attitude. And again, many people who profess to be children of God, their attitude is worse than the world's attitude. Their spirit is more discouraging and more depressing than to be around a lost person. They walk in a room and they suck the joy right out of it just by being there. But our whole attitude and our whole spirit ought to point to Jesus Christ. It ought to be something that people want. I want what they have. I don't know what it is, but I want what they have. We're the light of the world. The psalmist said in Psalm 34 and 5, they looked unto him, that is the Lord, and were lightened or were made radiant. And that's how we have our light shine. We are to continually look to him. And the more we look to him and the closer we draw to him, the more radiant our lives become. And the more our lives reveal Jesus Christ, and the more our lives point to Jesus Christ. That's what we ought to want our lives to do, to point to Jesus Christ, to cause people to ask us about Jesus Christ. Just the very way we live ought to do that. Without saying a word, our lives ought to do that. We see also that light always has an effect upon darkness. Always. Light always affects darkness. The function of light is to scatter darkness. It has a direct effect on darkness. It has an immediate effect upon darkness. If you go into a barbershop, we'll use as an example, and you walk in and all of a sudden it's dead silence, praise God. Because they were probably talking about something they shouldn't have, and when you walk in, they feel guilty. That's what light is to do. It's to scatter the darkness. And that's what our lives ought to do. It shouldn't work the opposite way, that when we walk in, they begin to tell even filthier jokes. If that's the case, it just shows that we haven't been very effective in our lives. They ought to be ashamed. And make no apology if your presence makes the ungodly ashamed. That's what your life ought to do. It ought to make the ungodly and the vile and the filthy ashamed of themselves. It ought to make them where they even want, either want what you have or they have no desire to be around you because you make them uncomfortable. It's sad today when God's people take that, well, we don't want to make them feel uncomfortable. Well, why not? That's exactly what you're supposed to do. And you don't even have to say anything. Just by living right, just by doing right, your life will make sinners uncomfortable. There's only one way to make sinners comfortable, and that's approve of what they're doing or join in with them. It's the only way. So I hope that we don't want to make the ungodly comfortable. And that's the whole philosophy today behind building churches. Is we got to make folks feel comfortable. God help us when our lives make ungodly people feel good about themselves. That's not what we're here for. We're to be the light of the world. Light in the Bible is an emblem of knowledge. It's an emblem of purity and truth. Darkness in the Bible is an emblem of ignorance. An emblem of error, an emblem of sin and wretchedness. And Jesus says, ye are the light of the world. And wherever light is, darkness is affected. So wherever we live, ignorance ought to be affected. Error ought to be affected. Sin ought to be affected. We ought to have an effect upon these things. Just by the way we live our lives. The Bible speaks of the power of darkness. The Bible speaks of the works of darkness, and the Bible speaks of those that are in darkness. And we're to be the light. And that light is to have an effect upon darkness. And it doesn't do any good to complain about how dark it is and how these are the darkest days known to mankind. If that be so, the darker the night, the brighter the light, the more manifest the light. If we are living in the darkest times of all human history, then we ought to thank God. Because what an opportunity that gives us to be clear. But think about it. If we are in the darkest times of human history, yet You can hardly tell the difference today between the ungodly and the godly. So what's that say about our light? Not much at all. The light has been snuffed out. We are the light of the world. So the more sinful the times, the greater the difference that people ought to be able to see in our lives. Light always has an effect upon darkness. You ought never to want your life not to have an effect, a positive effect upon someone else, whether lost or saved. Light warns of danger. Wherever we are in the world, whatever our place, whatever our position, our life should be like a beacon. It should warn folks of danger. Just by the way that we live. Light provides guidance. Put lights along a walkway so folks won't trip and fall. Guides our steps. And our lives should serve as an example for others to follow. Our church attendance should be an example for others to follow. Our prayer life should be an example for others to follow. The way we live should be an example to others to follow. The way we work, the way we do everything ought to be an example for others to follow. Yet, if their examples were followed, churches would have to close down. You'd have to close Sunday school. No one would be there if they followed the example of some. So again, our life is to be an example, and there are many, many scriptures that declare that truth. The psalmist said, "The entrance of thy word giveth light." We need to read God's word. We need to study God's word. That gives us light, and the more light we have, the more light we reveal in our lives. Light can provide safety, and our lives ought to provide safety. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, if we turn there, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 16. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this," not a thing about speaking, "for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Your life can save someone else's life just by the example that you give. And our lives ought to provide safety for others. Our lives should be such an example as to prevent someone from bringing harm upon themselves, by them just imitating the life that we live. Could save their life. Just the advice that you give them, just the word that you speak to them, could save their life from ruin. Our lives should never bring harm, cause someone to harm themselves or to harm their family because of our example. But it should always be just the opposite. Light can stimulate and motivate. The entrance of light can inspire. The entrance of light can chase shadows of gloom away. The entrance of light can bring cheer to the downtrodden. And our lives ought to inspire. The way we live our lives ought to inspire others. The way we live our lives ought to give others hope. We shouldn't add to their hopelessness. We live in a world where we're surrounded by hopelessness. And many times the very lives that God's people live just simply adds to the hopelessness. But our lives ought to stimulate. Our lives ought to motivate others. So wherever God has placed us, whatever our position in the world, Our lives ought to be an inspiration to others. Our lives ought to be a stimulant rather than a depressant. Our lives ought to be an encouragement to, again, our corner of the world, wherever it is that God has placed us. The way we live our life ought to encourage others. Light, of course, is a reflection. When God saved us, He changed us. We were set free. He set His love upon us, and He shed His love in our hearts. And we have a joy. We have a peace. We have a hope that the world knows absolutely nothing about. And wherever God has placed us, and whatever our position in the world, our life is to reflect the fact that we have been set free. And there are many of God's people today that live in bondage, and they are a terrible testimony to a lost world that is in bondage. Our life is to reflect that we've been set free. Our life is to reflect the love of God. Our life is to reflect the joy of salvation. People talk about the joy of salvation and they're never happy. The world catches unto that. The world wants no part of it. But our life ought to reflect the joy of the Lord. Our life ought to reflect the peace of God. You can tell somebody all you want to about peace and the peace of God, but they need to see it in your life. They need to see the peace of God. When your world is falling apart, they need to see the peace of God in your life. You say, well, my world's falling apart. If you act just like the lost person, you're no different. They've got that. Why should they want what you have? They have as much peace as you have. They can pout. They can be downtrodden when everything's falling apart. But when everything's falling apart, the child of God is to manifest peace and hope. We talk about hope, and then we act as if there is none. But our lives are to reflect these things. Again, the world doesn't know anything about these. They only see these things in children of God. And it's really sad today what the world has seen in many of God's children. The light can be an irritant. Just like salt can irritate, light can be an irritant. Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved." If you want to sleep, and someone comes into your room and turns on the light, you're going to be irritated. Light can be an irritant. And if we live like we're supposed to live, and we are what we are supposed to be, and do what we're supposed to do, you're going to irritate some folks along the way. We do not purposely irritate them, but just doing what you're supposed to do will irritate them. And they hate the darkness, and they will not come to the light, lest their deeds be reproved. Many are content in their darkness. Many of the lost people that are in our lives, they're content in darkness. They're comfortable in the darkness. And you live your life, and your life radiates, they're going to be irritated. But don't let that discourage you. That's what our life is supposed to do. We are light. We're different. We're to be different from all of those around us. We see also that light is to be seen. There's no such thing tonight as living the Christian life as a secret. I have a real problem with folks saying, well, I've been saved about a year, but I'm just now telling people. I'm sorry, I have a problem with that. Because I don't think it's something you can keep a secret. Nor do, and if you could keep it a secret, I don't think it's something you want to keep as a secret. The Christian life cannot be lived secretly. The life of a child of God is to be public. It is for something, it is something for everybody to see. It is a life that is to be viewed and seen by all. We don't live it to be seen, but our lives should be seen. Our lives should have a public effect. And Jesus said in verse 14, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You live for the Lord. You cannot be hid. You try living for God in the workplace, and you cannot hide such a life. It'll be clearly seen. Don't tell me that you work in a place and no one there knows you're saved. What you're saying is you're either lost or seriously, seriously backslidden. Because if you live a life like you're supposed to, you don't have to say a word. They're going to see a difference. And most people are going to ask you why. Now you have an opportunity to tell them. And chances are they'll only ask once. Once you tell them. Our lives cannot be hid. Nor do we desire for them to be hid. Perhaps when Jesus said a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, I picture Jesus, again, he's preaching this on a mountain, he perhaps pointed to a city. See that city? I mean, you can see a city for miles and miles and miles. A city at night cannot be hid. And so our lives should be so visibly distinct that it is recognized from afar off. That people immediately see and they immediately feel something different about that person. They may think you're just a wacko or weirdo, but they know that something is different. And the child of God does not wish to avoid their life being observed. If we live right, we're not ashamed to have people observe our lives. We ought to want that. That's why we're here. Jesus said in verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. That is, when men light a candle, they don't wish to hide it. They wish it to be seen. The word candle has reference to a lamp or a lantern. And the Lord's people, that's what we are. We're lamps. We're lanterns in our part of the world. That others might see the light. And that others might be benefited by the light. And again, when men light a candle, they do not attempt to conceal it. They do not attempt to place it where it can be of no use. And so it's foolish tonight. It's contradictory to say, I just want to live my own life and everybody leave me alone. I just want to be by myself. Well, you see, that's a wrong attitude completely. The child of God ought to want to be around people. The child of God ought to be a people person. The child of God ought to have an impact, an immediate impact upon every person we come into contact with. So we're never to attempt to conceal what we've been made by God's grace. Don't be ashamed to carry a Bible down the street. Why would you be ashamed of that? Don't be ashamed to have a Bible in your lunchbox. Why would you be ashamed of that? Don't be ashamed to read the Bible in a lunchroom. Why would you be ashamed of that? We shouldn't be ashamed of any of those things. People say, I don't want to do that. I don't want to make a spectacle of myself. Oh, and you don't do it to make a spectacle of yourself. You read the Word of God in the lunchtime so that you don't have to listen to everything else that's going around. And it makes a difference. And again, people are going to ask, probably once, if you tell them. And then he goes on and he tells us how our light is to be placed. First of all, we see that there is a proper place for our light. He says in verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it, that is light put on the candlestick, giveth light unto all that are in the house. So the proper place for the light is on a candlestick. Now in Revelation 1 in verse 12, John saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of those seven golden candlesticks was Jesus Christ. And in his hand were seven stars. Jesus explained what all this meant in Revelation 1 and verse 20. He said, the seven stars that you saw are the angels of the seven churches. That is, they are the messengers of the seven churches. And the candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. These were seven local churches that are specifically mentioned in Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3. They are the kinds of churches that Jesus Christ established during his earthly ministry. It is the kind of church that Jesus is in the midst of. There's only one kind of church that Jesus is in the midst of. And it's that kind of church that we are to place our light. We are to place our light upon a candlestick. And in the midst of those candlesticks was Jesus Christ. It is the kind of church that has messengers. That has messengers that are held in Christ's hand. That is where we are to place our light. That is where we are to place our testimony. That is where our light will be the most useful. That is where our light will be the most beneficial, upon a candlestick. That is where we will best function as a light. That is, upon a candlestick. So the best place for a child of God to put their light is in the kind of church represented by the candlestick there in Revelation 2 and 3. And that, of course, is the Lord's churches. That is where we are to put our light. And that is where we'll have the most influence. That is how we will have the better testimony. Then he goes on, he gives a command concerning our light. He says, let your light so shine. That is, upon a candlestick. Let your light so shine. We are to place our life upon a candlestick. And then we are to live in such a way that our life reveals Jesus Christ to everyone around us. He then goes on to say, let your light so shine before men. And he's gone now from indicative to imperative. What that means is he has simply gone from describing a child of God his light to now commanding the child of God to let their light so shine. It is a command of God. It is a description of the child of God. We are the light of the world. But it is also a command. Since you are the light of the world, let your light so shine. Do not attempt to put it under a bushel. Do not attempt to hide it. Put it on a candlestick so all in the house can see And how do we let our light shine? Well, he goes on to explain that we do that by good works, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. The purpose of individuals seeing you and I is so that they would glorify God, so that they would see Jesus Christ. It's not to give us applause. It's not to give us any acclamation at all. It is so that they would glorify God. And we are to let our light so shine for the honor and for the glory of God. I believe it pleases God that if you and I walk in a room that's full of cursing, as soon as we walk in, the cursing stops. I believe that pleases the Lord. I believe it pleases God if people know better than to tell you an off-color joke or a filthy joke. It pleases God when they know better than to do that. That's pleasing to God. That's the way it ought to be. But so many folks, they want to fit in. If you want to fit in with the world, there's only one way to do that, and that's to act like they do and to approve of what they do. And when you do that, the salt has lost its saltiness. And when you do that, the light has lost its ability to be radiant. That's what you're here for. So if you can't do what you're here for, that's when Jesus said it's good for nothing. It's good for nothing. Now you say, well, that doesn't make me feel very good. It shouldn't. It ought to make you feel horrible. If you're living a life in such a way that you're good for nothing, you ought to feel rotten. We're not worried about hurting your feelings or making you feel good. We ought to feel rotten if our lives are not functioning as they ought to. So the use of salt and light are descriptive of our responsibility to this world. We have a responsibility to have a godly influence upon the world. That will not make you a lot of friends. But lost folks will respect you. Even a lost person respects someone who takes a stand. They may not like it, but they will have some respect. And our lives are to be a testimony of what God can do in a life. Our lives ought to testify of God's miraculous, amazing grace. As a child of God, we are different. And we ought to want that difference to be seen. We ought not to ever be ashamed of being unlike the world. We ought to get up and thank God every day that we're not like the world, that God's grace has made a difference. So in our spot of the world, again, God has placed individuals in our lives. Do they see something different about us? Do they see something different about us? Without us saying a word, can they see something different about us? In a time of sorrow, in a time of grief, can they see something different about us? In the time of death, can they see something different about us? I'm telling you, there's a world of difference tonight. You get a family gathered around a deathbed that has no faith, that has no salvation, and then you compare that with a family who has assurance that their loved one is going on to be with the Lord. I'm telling you, there's a difference between night and day. And the world can see that difference, because I've heard nurses and doctors and chaplains make comments, what a difference. And it is a difference. And if it's not, you have every reason to question your salvation. That should also be true in the time of trial and tribulation and whatever comes upon us. The world ought to see a difference. The world ought to see a difference in us. Do we live in such a way to cause those that we are in contact with to come and ask us questions? You know, our lost families, you take a stand. You do what's right. You put church ahead of reunions. You put church ahead of all those things. You say they'll disown me. No, they won't. And even if they do, when they need help, guess who they're calling? Because they know. They know. We need to live in such a way that even the lost folks that don't like us, that can hardly stand being around us, when they have a problem, they're going to call and ask us a question. Now, they may not listen to what you say. People ask questions all the time and don't listen to the answer. But the point is, they asked. And there's a reason they asked you. So we ought to live our lives in such a way that people ask. We ought to live in such a way that they might even ask, how are you so peaceful? Might be a time of what the world calls tragedy. We ought to live in such a way as it would cause them to ask, how do you have such peace? You shouldn't be falling apart just like they are. I'm not talking about not grieving. I'm not talking about not sorrowing, but we sorrow not as others, which have no hope. Our sorrowing's to be different. And it's a bad testimony when it's exactly the same as the world. I've seen professing children of God try to climb in caskets. That's an awful testimony. That's what lost folks do. We're not to grieve like the lost. I'm not saying we're not to grieve, but we're not to grieve like the lost. We're to have peace and assurance. So all that our lives would make a positive difference in a world that is surrounded by darkness. Many of us, our entire families, are in darkness. Our brothers, our sisters, moms, dads, aunts, uncles, grandparents, they're all in darkness. And we may be the only light that they ever see. And we need to pray that they see it. And we need to pray that we live in such a way that we are light. When we get around our loved ones, when we get around our family, that we do not bring ourselves down to their level. Because when you do that, you've lost your influence. And they have no respect. They have none. Oh, they'll pat you on the back, say, oh, you're such fun to be with. But guess what? They don't have an ounce of respect for you. Because you say one thing and you do something else. I'd rather them not like me. I'd rather them not want me around. But at least know what I believe. So God help us to be a shining light. The Lord said of John the Baptist that he was a bright and shining light. And that ought to be true wherever we work, wherever we go to school. It ought to be true in our neighborhoods. It ought to be true everywhere we go. That we ought to be a bright and shining light. I mean, if you just walk in McDonald's, people ought to be able to see a difference. If you talk to the person working the cash register, they ought to be able to see a difference. You shouldn't be as grouchy as everyone else. They ought to be able to see there's something different about that person. I have no idea what it is, but they know there's a difference. And you never know what a difference you might make in someone's day by just saying good morning. You might change your whole day. Let's not act like everybody else. Let's not act like the world, because we are different. And let us never be ashamed of that difference. Brother Larry, if you